It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Happy Saturday to everybody. Happy College Football Day. I guess I should really say. Thanks for tuning in to the Mark Lloyd Show. I'm Mark Lloyd, along with the crew, Simba Bill and Terminus Eric here on Freedom 93. And Simba Bill, let's get you in right away. It's a great day to be a college football fan because it's game day for the Noles, but it's also pretty much game day for the rest of the country when it comes to college football.
Oh, yeah. The engines are now officially started, and we're looking forward to a great slate tonight. And of course, our Noles will be doing it at 8 p.m.
Yes, they will. 8 p.m. on ESPN News is when they will they'll get going against Texas State tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit, not a little bit, but a lot about that Florida State versus Texas State game coming up in our second segment. Later on also, we have Mark Lloyd in the locker room with the Bucks report. It sounds so weird when I say it as myself. But that's coming up later on. We'll recap last week's game. It wasn't a very good one and against the Cleveland Browns, but also the Bucks were in action on Thursday night. And just a quick note to everybody, due to the Labor Day weekend and it's a holiday weekend, we are actually taping our show pre-Buccaneer game. So it's on a Thursday is when we're taping the show right now for our for everybody. So we really don't know the results, but we will recap last week's game against the Browns and also look ahead to the game against the Miami Dolphins and see if some of Bill's predictions on what he's looking for out of the Bucs against Miami comes true. And then, of course, our last segment, we have our entertainment. Fear the Walking Dead is firing on all cylinders right now, plus our fitness tip and our water check, Senator Bill. So a lot to get to.
Now, I'm looking forward to that. You got some good news during that water check, so you better be ready.
Uh-oh, okay, all right, I like that. I like that. The challenge. But first, Senator Bill, let's get started because some games have already been played. Georgia Tech already was played on Thursday night along with TCU and Minnesota, Arizona, against Texas, San Antonio. And also, when is that Michigan? And then Michigan, I know, gets going against Utah as well.
Yeah.
Before we actually have a chance to comment on it and everything. But Saturday, all the game days, boy, it's just great because right now, Bill, we're at the point, because it's the first game, that every game seems exciting because we want to see what every team looks like. So about 6 weeks from now, when somebody plays a team like Western Michigan or another awful matchup, nobody really cares. We're expecting a blowout. You kind of know what you're getting from that football team. But in week one, like Michigan State against Western Michigan, that's intriguing. Let's see what Michigan State looks like, the fifth-ranked team in the country. Do you agree on that, Samuel? Because there's a lot of teams also that has brand-new starting quarterbacks that we're going to get our first chance to see in live game action.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like you said, you know, it's like just an explosion of games come at you during the first week, kind of like what happens when they start the preseasons for football. You get all these, you know, Thursday and even some Friday, and then rolling into Saturday. And you know, we had the Bison, you know, last week that got upset. You know, the ones that always win that subdivision.
Oh yeah, yeah. In the FCS.
By one of our old favorite Montana State, you know, the Grizzlies, and that there is a similar tie there because of Wayne Hogan. I think he's still out there with that group. If you remember, Wayne Hogan used to be our athletic director for a lot of years back, right there when we won our first national title, and did a lot for our he did a lot for our whole organization back in the day, and then he took off and went out there and you know, hadn't come back, but I'm sure he was excited and good for him.
It was a huge victory. Senator Bill, let's take a look at some of these games because A lot of top teams have named their starting quarterback technically. Yes. And even one team that we have to pay attention to in the state of Florida, they named theirs as well. But ninth ranked Georgia gets going against Louisiana Monroe. A lot of people have big expectations for Georgia because of Nick Chubb and the running game and a very good offensive line and a defense that's kind of still up in the air a little bit, but lots of talent. But they're going to start Grayson Lambert as their quarterback, which is really comical because Grayson Lambert could even play really for Virginia last year. He decided to transfer, not to an FCS school. He goes, I'll transfer to Georgia and I'll win the starting job there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of jokes out there, but he gets a start for Georgia in that game. And also for Ole Miss, Chad Kelly, the 17th ranked team in the nation, Ole Miss, they take on Tennessee Martin. Chad Kelly gets going for them. So real quick, for the Georgia Bulldogs and Ole Miss and any of these teams with the new starting quarterbacks, including Florida State, what are you looking for out of these starting quarterbacks, these brand new transfers or guys that now are the quarterback on the team in his first few games, no matter who they're playing, good or bad teams?
Well, you look for several things, but the big one is just making sure you take care of the football as much as you can the first time out, because as with anything, first game you're all hyped up and ready to go no matter what the opponent is, and just want to see that your QB is making good decisions with the football. First of all, he's got the right mentality for the game. He's as coach our coach always says, don't get too high, too low, just stay in the middle somewhere and just lead your team like you're supposed to. But really is just, get out there, perform like you're supposed to for the game. Some of them won't have the luxury of, in the case of like Alabama, when they take on Wisconsin, that's in a way like what we did last year with Texas Tech. You're not going to have
I'm pulling back the reins because we're going to get to that game. Don't jump ahead of me.
No, I'm not.
We're
going
to talk Bama.
You just got to go out there and play to the level of the game. In other words, you got to perform, and some guys are going to have an easier game to do that with versus others. So if
Bill Belichick says, do your job well, sounds like what you're saying.
Exactly. But you have to, because you're now the guy, regardless of what anybody else thinks.
Yeah, good point. Good point. No, I like what you said just then. Now you are the guy. And with 12th-ranked Clemson, they get going against Wolford. So it's an easy victory for the team. However, though, it is they have their guy when it comes to Deshaun Watson, and arguably one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the whole country.
Right.
But the big question mark with him is just the health issue, Seminole Bill. And I think when Clemson takes the field, every time I think you're just holding your breath with this guy, that he doesn't get banged up, because it's happened already. When he's out there, he's unbelievable. But he seems like he's not out there that much.
Right now, it's kind of like there are these fellows, if you will, these guys, like you said, that they have the talent, but they have to be able to stay on the field. And we always hold our breath when you got a guy in there like that, and you're like, oh man, we just need to keep him healthy, make sure he stays out there to make plays, because when that guy's doing his thing, he is an elite type quarterback at this level, and Heisman Trophy candidate and all that with it. He deserves it. He's a playmaker. He's very, very similar to Jameis in that respect. So they need him on the field. If he goes off, I don't know what the drop off is going to be, but it obviously won't be good.
Yes, you're absolutely right. 13th ranked UCLA starts a true freshman, Josh Rosen, the 5-star quarterback for them. Also going down the ranks, 6th ranked Auburn against Louisville, Central Bill.
Yeah.
You know what? You are absolutely right. Auburn is just loaded.
They are.
With talent on the football team. And now with the added, maybe their biggest recruit they got was not Byron Cowart, but the biggest recruit they picked up was Will Muschamp, being on the defensive side of the ball. New starting quarterback for him, but talent all over the place. Louisville loses a ton of talent to the NFL. But you just can't underestimate Bobby Petrino. I mean, you just can't. The guy always has a game plan. It's at a neutral site, That's the Georgia Dome, 3:30 start. Should be a good game, Simpleville.
Oh yeah, yeah. That'll be one of the ones you want to tune into, you know, just like some of those others we talked about. But yes, that'll be a good ball game. And you know, if Louisville can, you know, keep it close, you know, like you said, Bob has always got something up his sleeve, or some type of wrinkle that he can throw against. And if you're going to go against your, you know, hey, that guy's one of those guys that you just, you know, you. He's not going to give up, and he's going to have the guys at Louisville ready to play. And regardless of the situation and the amount of folks that left, the guys that are there will be ready to play football. So, you know, it will be interesting. And that's going to be something that we have to be careful of, because, you know, we're going to see those guys.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. 25th-ranked Tennessee, the school that seems to get in trouble every single week in Seminoleville, it is just a proven fact. When you are a team that's down really low, like Tennessee has been for a long time, they start recruiting excellent. Why? I don't, you know, it just happens. But boy, along with that, sometimes comes trouble when you bring in the top kids. It just, it is what it is. But they're in trouble every week. Somebody's always getting in trouble on that football team. And it's just funny. I'm wondering if Mark Schlabach is camped out at the University of Tennessee, so he likes to always hang out in Tallahassee to see what he can dig up. I wish he would go there, because he could probably write a different article every day on a different player on that Tennessee team getting in trouble. But we never seem to hear that. We usually, they got arrested. That, no big deal. Let's move on, because it's an SEC.
I laugh about it, because you and I watch a lot of the different shows and listen to a different folks. But yeah, you don't. I'm gonna tell you, even the other day, all you know, they set us up again to be the one to watch out for and root against us. But that's all right. We'll keep wearing that like a badge of honor. Just keep going on, because, you know, no matter what the national folks think, the program's back. We'll have our highs and lows, but we're not going anywhere for a long time. We're gonna be right where we need to be. So yeah,
he should
definitely have a hotel room somewhere in Knoxville. No doubt about it.
Yeah, exactly. At 7 o'clock on Saturday, we get going with 19th-ranked Oklahoma, where a lot of people have big expectations for that school. And in they'll field Joe Mixon, the criminal, the guy that beat up the girl that Bob Stoops knows about, that there's videotape of, but nobody seems to want to kick him off the team. They suspended him for 1 year, but they didn't kick him off the team, and that's a crying shame. I know we got to take a break, Seminole Bill. But you know what? Let's push forward a little bit, Terminus Eric. I know you're producing back there, but I want to get to some of these other games. 15th-ranked Arizona State, Seminoleville, goes up against Texas A&M. Some people are picking Arizona State to make it into the playoffs, but that's a great Pac-12 SEC matchup. That should be a fun game to watch.
Oh yeah, that's another one you got to tune into, because we'll see. You know, some, like you said, folks are looking at Arizona State to be a kind of a dark horse candidate out of the pack, and they had the talent. I mean, they didn't, you know, they didn't lose too much, and they're going up against another team there that, you know, still in a way trying to get back.
I love the talent, but yeah, you're absolutely,
you know,
right. They need to get back to where they were with Johnny Manziel when they were
right,
making all kinds of things, but they haven't been able to do that yet. 14th-ranked LSU starts a new quarterback, or not a new quarterback, but they went with Brandon Harris. They go up against McNeese State. At 7:30, Bill, there's a game that probably 10 years ago would have been the biggest matchup going on. That's 11th-ranked Notre Dame against Texas.
Yeah.
It's in South Bend, Texas. The only team that doesn't have a quarterback yet. Everybody around the country has a great Texas quarterback other than Texas.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So that should be, I guess the names make it a game that you want to at least tune into on NBC on Saturday night at 7:30.
Again, Charlie Strong still, you know, trying to put his stamp on that program, but this is an important year for him. He's got to, you know, show that the guys are making progress, and you know he's cleaned up the act over there a lot, no doubt about it. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be him. We'll see. We'll see if he's got something going for the Irish up there. But you know, most people would probably take Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 20th-ranked Wisconsin up against 3rd-ranked Alabama, Bill.
Right.
Give me a prediction in this game. It should be a heck of a football game. Bama's favored by 12 points in it at Jerry World. The game is played on a neutral site. Alabama's the king of neutral site games. So they take on Wisconsin. We do not know as of right now, as we're taping this show, who Alabama's starting quarterback is. I don't think anybody does.
No.
What's going to happen in this game?
Saban's got them all confused right now, and because he's confused, and he just don't want you to know it. I think, you know, you got to lean on your running game heavy, and unless you really, again, everything's you bye bye Amari and on all the rest, but you've pound the ball up the middle, force those big guys from Wisconsin to respect that run, so you can open up some passing lanes. Because right now, I think they're searching for consistency in their passing game and in their quarterback, and we'll find out who that is come later tonight. But long story short, I think Alabama will win that football game. Talent-wise, they just have too many, you know, it's like too much for Wisconsin. But Wisconsin will keep it. I think it's close into the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't know if it's 12 points. It might be just a field goal or 7 points, to be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you a question. I want to make you make the predictions. Does Bama cover the 12?
No, I don't think they will. I really don't.
Okay. All right. So you got Wisconsin plus the 12. Okay, I'll go along with you. I'll roll the dice. Just Wisconsin, they just never have a quarterback, and we'll see if they're able to run. Ohio State, the other big matchup is Ohio State against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech beat Ohio State last year. The Buckeyes are a 14-point favorite, but they come in with numerous suspensions, including Bosa, arguably the best player in the whole country, the defensive lineman for the Buckeyes.
Right.
We don't know who the starter is going to be, most likely J.T. Barrett, but they're both probably going to need some playing time, possibly. What's going to happen in this game, Seminole?
You know, Ohio State pretty much was very embarrassed by that game last year, obviously. So they come out and they try and make a statement, but that could be their undoing. I think Virginia Tech's laying in wait. Again, Ohio State should win the football game, but I don't know that it will be by any wide margin. I think it'll be a little bit closer than people are thinking.
Yeah, I will. So, do they cover the 14?
No, again, I don't think they cover the 14.
I don't either. I agree with you. Even though Ohio State's supremely talented, I just think of Blacksburg and with that team, you gotta show a little pride. You cannot get blown out at home no matter who you're playing if you're supposedly one of the top teams in the country. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk Florida State versus Texas State. It'll take place 8:00 on ESPN News. So we're very excited about that. Stay with us, Denver Close Show.
This is Seminole Bill
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show, and we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us. We're taping this Thursday due to the fact that it's a holiday weekend. Just wanted to throw that out there, everybody. But we do appreciate you hanging with us each and every week at Saturday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. But right now, it's game day. And that means it's time to talk some Florida State football as they take on Texas State, the Bobcats, tonight, 8 o'clock, under the lights, Seminoleville at Dolt Campbell Stadium. Starting a brand-new quarterback, it's kind of like a new era, no Winston around. So now let's see how Everett Golson, who is the starting quarterback for Florida State, who was named earlier this week, how he's going to mesh with all of this talent around him. As we go into this game, Seminoleville, there's no doubt no matter who Florida State is playing, there's a good chance that they have the most talent on the football field. And at the 30,000 foot view, it's can they mesh and can they understand the game plan each week? And for Everett Golston in particular, can he pick up what Jimbo wants him to do? Not as good, but at least decently, the way Jameis Winston did. I mean, that's one of the biggest questions coming into it.
Well, sure. I mean, the Ferrari is gone. You know, he's like, you know,
yeah.
you see your friend driving down the road, the Ferrari's somewhere else now, and you're like, man, you know, that was a great ride while it lasted. What's coming next? Well, you know, you've got a workhorse here coming in Everett Golston. He obviously accomplished a lot in a very short time to be able to win the starting position because, you know, like we said before, when we were on track, coach saw the need in terms of allowing this to happen, allowing someone from outside to come in. It's always interesting when that happens, you know, but you can have success with it if you got a good, smart, and diverse QB like we have coming in with Everett. And the good news is he can run. He can do things with his legs to, you know, buy more time if he needs it while the offensive line's, you know, trying to shore up. Obviously, he's got leadership skills or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. He's got a good arm. He can throw the football down the field. We saw that personally when he came in here and played against our guys, you know, last year and came within just one play, literally, beating us. So he's got the moxie.
He has the experience, right?
Yeah, I'm right.
I mean, he's played against Michigan on the road, USC on the road, Oklahoma on the road, Florida State on the road. So he won't be rattled. I'm asking you point blank, what are you looking for Everett Golston in this football game against Texas State, a team that obviously is nowhere nearly as talented as Florida State, but they like the blitz a lot. And I think that's a good thing because that's really going to test the offensive line. It's going to test Everett Golston's knowledge. And I think, honestly, believe the most important thing is Everett, I don't care what your stats are, just don't turn the ball over because that's going to start a media frenzy of, oh, goodness, deep trouble.
Yeah, well,
that's
you know,
what I think is most important.
You're right. That's what we were talking about up front with our quarterback's evaluation overall in the first segment is just do what you're supposed to do. You know, this Texas State team, you know, they're coming here. This is their dream game. Get out there and take on big Florida State, you know. Let's show everybody who we are. You know, let's show everybody how we play football. You know, after the first couple of hits, that's over, and you set tempo, and that tempo starts on your offense with your quarterback going out there being confident, letting your guys know that we're here to, you know, we're going to play the same way all four quarters. We're not going to, you know, again, get too high, too low. We're just going to do what we're supposed to do. You'll see a good dose number four, you know, and the other running backs, Pender and all the guys. They'll get back there and they'll just run. And then you'll see probably some, maybe, you know, like you said, if they're blitzing all the time and the line's trying to get used to that, you'll see him, you know, roll the pocket, move the pocket when need be, and or step up in and just take off. And that's what he can do. And, you know, we'll get a good chance to see the new look, which I think will be more of an old look if you go back to E.J. Manuel. I think that's what I don't think that's where offense results will be. I just think that's the mode. You have a quarterback that definitely can throw the ball, and to me, this guy's got a better arm than Manuel does. When he's accurate and proficient and things are going good, he can move the football right down the field. He can put you in some real good scoring opportunities. Don't underestimate Everett. I mean, now in a different system with different tools in the toolbox. It's going to be a little bit different.
The toolbox is full.
Yeah,
the toolbox is full. Now, let me ask you this, Seminole Bill. On the offense, give me one player that you feel needs to have a good game for Florida State, not to win, but because maybe he needs a good game for confidence, because we're going to be counting on this particular player as the season goes along, and you'd really like to see him flourish. Anybody
Everett.
Offensive lineman, a running back, or a wide receiver?
Everett.
There you go.
Number one. Okay. I think right there it starts right there. All the other nonsense that everybody's throwing around out there will go out the window if he just has a good, consistent first game. And you know, we may be dealing with some weather, depending on how things hold up, you know, with all the stuff. So all those things will come into play. If he goes out there, takes care of business, takes care of the football, that's it. You know, until you get to a real, you know, a big, you know, physical team that, you know, can actually have a chance to really whoop up on you, you know. We just need to see him go out there, take control of this team, and be the leader that he can be the leader that he has been before, and I think we'll be fine.
All right. I'm looking at I'm pretty sure Corey Martinez is going to be the one starting at center. I'm really looking at that because that proved to be a disaster last year for Florida State until Cameron Irvin took over. So, obviously, Dolson's a good one. I think the center position, and then, believe it or not, I think it's important for Ermon Lane just to catch a few balls because he's a five-star, big-time player, but you know his head is ups and down. Let's jump to the other side of the field, Summer Bill. Let's look at the defense for Florida State, who had all kinds of problems last year, no matter who they played. So to me, I think it's really important for them to come out and play the way that we think they're going to be capable of playing and not have any letdowns. And even when Florida State last year played the Citadel, they looked lost at times. You're going, really? The Citadel's just driving the football down the field again, and again, and again. And you're going, this is the Citadel. And I know there's all kinds of cheating or whatever. They're hitting the players low and injuries. But still, I think against a Texas State team that runs an unorthodox spread offense where they don't only just pass it, but they run out of it too, I think it'll be a good challenge for Florida State's, I guess, new-look defense because Brad Long and also – this is the new players that are going to be out there.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see what this new cat, Josh Sweat. I want to see what that guy has because they are buzzing about him, really, really buzzing about how much progress he made back, you know, coming back so quickly from his injury. That the kid, this could be the start of a great career for this young man from all the accolades I'm hearing and other people are throwing at this guy. So you don't normally hear too much of that early on unless there's really, you know, something there. This guy must have the it factor on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
So let's hope. We need that.
No, you're absolutely right. It's going to be interesting to see. You mentioned Josh Sweat, but it's the whole pressure situation.
Yes.
Because no matter who Florida State played last year, that guy had all day to throw the football. And what it was evident with Florida State having whatever 10 sacks on a year or 11 sacks or whatever that disgraceful number was. Let's see if they can put some pressure, get to the quarterback, create some turnovers the way they did in 2013. Like they were getting them left and right. Let's see if this team can do this starting off against Texas State. Similar though, the Noles are favored by 30 points in this football game.
Yeah.
Do they cover the spread, my friend?
I think they can cover it. Let's just say I'm gonna go with them to be. I would take them if it was 28. I don't know why that 30 seems a little bit big, first game out, with all the things going on. But I think Florida State was like maybe 35-7, 35. You know, that's in my mind why I just keep seeing the 35 pop up. Maybe 38 if Aguayo gets going. But I don't look for them to cover, to be honest with you, Mark. I think they'll be, depending on what types of stuff is going on in terms of the weather and everything for the game, it may have a little bit of an impact on that if we have rain.
Would you be, even though you're predicting that, would you be, I guess, is a 28-3 victory a good one? Florida State is a, I guess, because a lot of it too, Simmelville, against teams like this, It's all perception, too, because
correct.
When it comes to who gets in that playoff, if Florida State fortunate enough to be one of those teams, every game gets scrutinized about how they did against whoever it was. They don't care if it's the first game, especially Florida State. They won't cut them any slack at all the way they'll cut an SEC team. So, you don't think they should. You don't think they're going to cover, but I think it's really important that they do cover.
They need to cover. I'm just not going. Me knowing the way this team, you know, again, minus our ace in the hole the last few years, different story. But there's so many things going on with this team. And personally, I think, again, if we get up several touchdowns, you may see a lot of the young guys get in right away. You know, it's the nature of the beast. You don't want to get anybody banged up early, because we've seen that what happens.
Well, to be honest with you, though, what's so funny is when you mention the young guys, that's the whole team.
The whole team, right? The younger guys.
There you go. The younger guys. Okay. Give me a final score in the game, and then we got to take a break. Give me a final score.
Again, I for some reason I just see 35-7, for whatever reason, it just sticks in my head.
35-7. Okay, 35-7. I'm going to go with I think Florida State gets into the 40s, 42-10. Florida State wins and covers the spread. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our final score. Stay with us, gentlemen. Let's go.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Welcome back, folks. And now we're going to take a trip down to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucks Report.
Thanks so much, Bill, and I wish I had a happier Bucks report this week. I think we all did, but that wasn't the case. As we recap last week's game, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took on the Cleveland Browns. And basically, similar, Bill, this was the game in a nutshell.
Third down, 10 and a half. Here comes a delay blitz. Winston gets the pass away. It's intercepted at the 30-yard line. Error throw to the right side. The interceptor to the 15. Knocked out of bounds. Intercepted by Charles Gaines, a rookie out of Louisville. And Gaines has the Browns in business deep in Buck territory at the Tampa Bay 12-yard line.
The interception by Jameis Winston, or some you could say is his fault, or it wasn't. But that was basically the whole game in a nutshell. As the Bucs lost to Cleveland, 31-7, and I know, Bill, you know, it's not about winning and losing when it comes to the preseason, but it's about getting better each week. I mean, that's what we talk about every single week on the show. And last week, you can't tell me that Cleveland's defense is just that awesome, because they're not. But the offensive line for the Buccaneers, you talked about how you wanted to see them improve. They were god-awful last week. And it was like a jailhouse rush on Winston every time he dropped back. His stats were 6 out of 15 for 90 yards. With that interception that you just heard, where he was doing off his back foot and put Cleveland in good field position for the Buccaneers. But I guess my question right away to you, Bill, is what does Lovie Smith do about the offensive line? I mean, that's the team right there. How do you have to keep an extra running back in? You know what I mean? Like, how are they going to protect Winston? So he has a chance to throw strikes to Vincent Jackson, to Mike Evans, and Austin Ferris Jenkins. You know, how is he going to do that?
Well, first off, this was the first opportunity for the Bucs to taste a 3-4 defense first for Jameis as well. That's what they're going to see when Tennessee comes a calling on their first game. They'll see the same type of defensive structure and pressure. I think the stat was the first either, I don't know how many plays, maybe 8-9 plays in a row. If you go look at Cleveland's defense, they were in a blitz-type package. So they've really got to shore up in a very quick time frame general protection, learning to make better, like James said, he has to make better reads so he can, you know, call to the lineman what they need to do and check off if he needs to. You got to get the short passing game going. You've got to make, you know, a lot of throws off play action pass, because that was the one thing that did allow him to, you know, to make a few throws downfield. But it's essentially, I think you go to, you know, protect and maybe run a few screens or, you know, dumps or whatever, you know, flares, whatever, out to the side, just to take the pressure off Jameis. Let him get rid of the football without getting pounded every time. And once you do that, and if the running game picks up anything, it should mean that, you know, he'll have his opportunity to make some throws downfield as well. But in the interim, you got a bunch of young guys. Again, we talked about young guys. You've got some young guys in the mix on the line. You've got a young quarterback. You've got a running game you got to revive to make all that work. And the defense on the other side of the ball needs to step it up and play sound football to help the offense get their feet under them.
You know what? We're going to get to the defense. I want to jump back. I want to ask you, Seminole Bill, how concerned are you about Winston's ankle? Jameis is a gamer, and he makes no excuses. And I thought that was awesome to hear him say the ankle's fine. Let somebody else come out and say really what's going on. And Doug Carter, the offensive coordinator, said that, you know, the ankle's bothering him, you know, when it comes to throwing and everything. But Winston says it's not. How concerned are you? Could this be one of those injuries that without some time to rest it, that it lingers throughout the first 3, 4, 5 games, trying to get better, you know, over the next month and a half, praying that it doesn't get rolled up on again? Are you very concerned?
You have to be. I mean, that your strength isn't just in your arm; it's in your base. You know, you just like pitchers in baseball, you know, you have to have a good solid base. If you're not able to push off or set your feet correctly, that can be a problem. And yes, sprained ankles are very, you know, they're natural in football. I mean, it happens. But, you know, once you roll it to a certain extent, I mean, it's always going to be a little flimsy. You just got to, you know, do your stretching and, you know, ice heat the whole week and just, you know, nurse it back. But, yeah, it can be a lingering injury, just like a groin pull and some other types of injuries in football. Certain injuries can linger with you throughout the better part of a season, you know, high ankle sprains versus regular, you know, sprains, different type of situation. But Jameis will fight through it. He'll do what he always does. He'll tape it up and be ready to play. And it's going to be up to the guys around him to keep the heat off him so he can let that thing heal.
And you know what? You said it. It's going to be up to the guys around him to keep the heat off him. And they need to do whatever they can to protect this quarterback, because when he has time, Winston will make throws like they did to Vincent Jackson this past week, just throwing a dart down the field. And, you know, Doug Martin is running strong, and so is Sims, the running back, Charles Sims,
right,
the running back. He is a shifty dude and can really run the ball well, and I think that's one of the big positive signs on that offense. Those guys are not only running well, but they're running hard, you know, with authority. And it seems like they get it. They know how important they are to help make this team successful. Now, just last week, Seminole Bill, when the Bucs played the Bengals, we were just complimenting how great the defense looked. Well, this week against the Browns, it was just an off game for everybody, I guess. Because Josh McCown, the quarterback for the Browns, I mean, he looked outstanding. 17 out of 23, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lewis comes in, 4 out of 5, 66 yards. They ran the ball okay, over 100 yards in the football game. So it was – I don't know if there's, like, major concern on the defense. I just think maybe they just had an off game, because the first two games indicated that their defense is much improved.
Yeah, and the other thing you got to remember is the first touchdown by the Browns was special teams. And you know,
That's true.
So, I mean, you have a return for, you know, a TD, and that – right away, you know, you go, oh, that was another point of weakness. Not that there was many strengths last year for the Bucs, but a lot of these things are just going to have to come together. You got to remember, everyone's being evaluated right now. They're still, I mean, game 3 was supposed to be, you know, a very important game to focus on who you're going to keep, you know, and then this next one against the Dolphins will probably be one where you don't see a lot of the, too many of the starters in there. And I don't know that Jameis will touch the field much at all. on that game just because of concern for letting him heal. So
once again, folks, we're taping this show on Thursday. That's why Seminoleville said that. People are probably listening to it on Saturday morning going, what do you mean? How do you not know? Didn't you watch the game? We're taping it on Thursday due to Labor Day. So Seminoleville, we're looking he was talking about the Dolphin game coming up on Thursday night.
And normally, you know, Mark, game fours of the preseason are not usually a place where you put a lot of your big stud on the field for very long, if at all.
Correct.
So, you know, this could be an opportunity for Jameis if they decide to run him a series. Great, but in all reality, they could sit him if they want to and just concentrate on some other things and let him get that ankle healed.
Well, let's look ahead to that Dolphin game, and you were mentioning that not a lot of the studs are going to be out there, so you don't expect to see a Vincent Jackson, a Gerald McCoy, Doug Martin. But my question to you is, I mean, he wants to play, famous Jameis.
Right.
Do you play him, even though he has the ankle, because he is a rookie and all the experience in the world? I mean, the more experience, the better, as you get ready to kick off the season against the Tennessee Titans, basically on September 13th.
Right.
What do you do if you're the coach? If you're Lovie Smith, what do you do?
You know, you could give him a couple series. You know, I don't know that you need to run him the whole half, of course. But you give him a few series, just let him stay in the flow of things if you want. But for me, that's my guy. I got to protect him. And I may run him out there and trot him out there for a couple series. But I'm not doing anything really, really crazy. Even though I know I need to see some things out of him, I'd rather let him focus on getting ready for game one and being healthy.
Okay. I'm chuckling because of my next question to you. And that is, do you change your mind at all if you're Lovie Smith? If you know, even though we don't think he will, if Ngannou is going to be starting for the Dolphins, if you know ahead of time that he's going to be out there for the first two series, you roll Winston out knowing that offensive line that you have and what a maniac this guy is, that there is a 90% chance that dude is going to hit Winston, even in a couple series, because he's just that good. And then on top of that, we all know he's a nasty ball player. Some people call it dirty, some people don't, but the bottom line is, I'm sure he would love nothing more than to drill the number one draft pick this past year. So,
Have
you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. In a preseason game, when you look out there, you go, whoa, dude's out there. Nah, it's not worth it. Let's bring him back.
Yeah, there was a guy years ago called Buckus that would, hit you if you're sitting on the bench.
That's right.
A few years back before our time. But, you're trying to make your trying to get your name out there. And, and Dominican Sue, man, he's a beast. I mean, you dangle a sausage biscuit in front of him, he's going to eat it. So, it's natural.
Would you make an adjustment? I'm just asking you.
I put the whole side of the line that he's on against him. that's my adjustment.
Or I
get Winston in the shotgun in passing situations so he doesn't have to take too much.
The minute you say hike, throw the ball.
Right, yes.
And also, Simpleville, do you think if Winston does come out there and play in the first couple series, do you think there are specific instructions to him, Jameis? If nobody's open, throw the ball away. Do not take a chance of getting hit. Do not extend the play by running around. Just do not do that. We're not going to hold it against you or anything. Do you think those instructions have been given to Winston?
Well, they should be. That's just good football. I mean, first off, and that showed up a little bit last week, he is really looking for all those receivers at some point, and a lot of times his guys were covered, and so that consequently causes you to have to move around in the pocket or step up in the pocket and obviously or take a sack, and the latter happened a few times, and again you don't want that. You want him to just tell him, hey, if it's not there right now, friend, just get outside and dump it out, get outside the tackle box or where you got to be to make that throw and throw it away, put it in the sidelines, put it somewhere. Yes, that's something you definitely want to talk to your young quarterback about doing and not worrying about extending the play right now. Just learn the offense, let it come to you, and get used to getting rid of the football.
Yep, no, I agree. Good advice, Simba Bill. A couple other quick notes here on Mark Wozlocki with the Bucs report, and that is Ken Wright was traded. How ironic, that was the guy that dropped that nice pass by Jameis Winston.
Right.
They traded him for a kicker. And also, which is pretty cool, is Levante Davis is on one of the regional covers for the SI this
right,
week.
Right.
So that's kind of cool, you know, for the Buccaneers, for the outstanding linebacker. And it's a good pick, and it's good pub for the Buccaneers. So
absolutely,
we'll see how that's how everything plays out. Some of the world, the next time we're talking, it's basically almost going to be game day.
Yeah.
The next time our show airs, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, because the Bucs will be getting ready to play the number one draft pick, Marcus Mariota, and the Tennessee Titans. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we have our water check, which is supposedly going to get a surprise. Also, in our entertainment segment. All that coming up. Stay with us right here on the Mark Moore Show.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers, and you'll be able to hear, as you did Thursday night, all the games of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers throughout the season. Right, Simba Bill?
Absolutely. You better check it out, because if you don't, well, then you're just going to have to listen to recaps all the time, and what fun is that?
Well, hopefully it's a lot of fun, Simba Bill. Come on.
I was being sarcastic.
You're killing me.
That was my last for the day. No, we will definitely be here to give you the recap if you can't catch it all. But obviously, you know, pipe in, listen to Gene ain't a bad thing, you know?
Not at all, especially him calling out Winston again. So that's really cool. But right now, let's do a water check. Supposedly, Somerville has a big a surprise, so I better be ready. But I will say this, Somerville. It was bizarre. I was talking to a friend of mine. And I was asking about the whole water thing, that how come bodybuilders, when they're getting ready for a show, they get up to like 2 gallons of water a day. And the bottom line is that he's like, listen, the whole water situation, what it is, obviously it's good for you, but it really does burn the fat. So yesterday, and I'm not saying this because you said you had a surprise, so I'm assuming you drank a lot. But yesterday, brother, I hit 140 ounces.
140. Seriously.
I had 140. I had 3 33-ounce bottles, and then I had several 17-ounce bottles. Now I was doing a lot of stuff, and let's be honest, right now in Florida, it's a hot as Hades out.
Yeah.
So anytime you do anything, and then plus working out, so yeah, I had 140 ounces. What do you have, Somerville?
Wow, you just are a chill joy. 139. I missed you by an ounce.
No. That's great.
But you are right. The big surprise is I you know, I've been watching the weight and doing some things you told me, you know, changing some fruits for some candies and stuff. And you know, since the beginning of
changing some candies for fruits. You said that opposite.
No, right.
Yeah, I know.
Down about 20 pounds, my brother. since the
holy smokes.
Yeah, several months. Well, you know, obviously being out there doing
that's the right way though.
Yeah, it's getting there, man. I was surprised. I kept noticing the belt when the belt gets longer instead of shorter. You know, you're noticing yeah. things and things are fitting a little bit different. That's when you like to see the results, and so it's starting to work.
Absolutely, good deal. Terminator, where are you at?
I'm at a whopping still 150.
Consistent.
Okay, you know what though. Terminus, yeah, exactly. You were consistent. Let's hope Florida State is consistent as Terminus Eric is right now with his water intake. And 115 ounces for Terminus Eric is fantastic because the guy probably only weighs 130 pounds. So that's really true in the grand scheme of things. All right, now our fitness tip, similar Bill. This is interesting. The misconception once in a while, more is better when it comes to doing cardio. So spending long periods of time doing cardio, particularly continuous low-intensity cardio, can actually be counterproductive because it can cause the body to hold on to its energy sources for fear that it will need them for future long, continuous exertions. So like I've mentioned before, I'm reinforcing it. Short bursts of high-intensity exercise, basically interval training, has been shown to burn a whole bunch of fat. So 30 minutes of intense training, 2 or 3 times a week, will go a lot further than 5 days of 30 minutes of just being on a treadmill, walking, or whatever it is like that. So keep that in mind and keep shedding the weight. Let's get to our entertainment segment now, Seminole Bill. We are all in agreement. We have fallen in love with Fear the Walking Dead. The show is a hit, not just for us, but for the whole country. It's getting outstanding ratings. And there's so many questions, and here's one I had. I mean, the show's progressing. It's showing the I guess the virus. I guess that's what we call it, right? It's the virus.
Yeah, that's what we refer to it as, the virus.
Yeah. So the showing how the virus is taking over everything. And I think it's really interesting. I think they're doing a good job of building the storylines, but also giving us some action at the same time, especially like with the principal when she was smashing the principal. The only thing I find weird once in a while, it's like, listen, it's not like your daughter's 5 years old. Tell her what's going on. When people ask sometimes what's going on and they're like, oh, don't worry about it, I'm like, what do you mean don't worry about it? The world's coming to an end outside. Tell the chick, tell your daughter that you just killed the principal because he was trying to kill, what was his name, Tobias?
Yeah.
Who had the right idea. Stocking up on, I mean, that kid's got his act together.
I like that kid. Smart kid.
Yeah. 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 He has a made-up job. He doesn't quite know what to do with that knife. Stabbing the guy in the chest, but what's really cool is that we know what works, and it's really interesting to watch the show now because it's at the very beginning for them. So they don't know what's working. They don't know the killer is in the stab the knife in the head of the Walking Dead zombie, and instead they're trying to figure out what it is, what kills these creatures that are walking around, and the suspense. When she was sitting next to her boyfriend who has already been bitten, which I kind of find strange that there is a couple parts I find strange. When they're asking, you know, like he has a fever and everything, he doesn't mention, hey, by the way, I got bit in the neck by another human.
Yeah,
I'm just laying in bed, I'm coughing sick. When she asks what's wrong, I just don't understand how you don't say, this is not, I got bit, another person bit me in the neck, and now I'm not feeling well. I mean, it's easy to put two and two together. That's the only shoddy writing where you're like, huh? Like,
you know,
how are you not freaking out, David?
I don't know about you, Travis, but I'm wondering, is it because it affects the way you think, you know, as well as your whole personality is kind of changing because you don't know what's going on, and maybe that's one of the mannerisms. You just don't... commonsensical things kind of go out the window when you get.
Does she have her arm around his neck too? Like, wouldn't that hurt?
Yeah. Did they not leave with the food? That's right, because the kid got out of the car and just walked in, right?
Yeah.
You're right. Tobias just got out of the car. He didn't get out of the car and say, hey, pop the truck, I need to grab these 75 cans. You're right, they did all that, and he just got out of the car. Very good. Good eye, Terminus Eric. All right, that's going to do it for another edition of the Mark Moy Show. We hope everybody has a great college football Saturday, and let's hope the Noles come out and play a fantastic game tonight against Texas State. For similar build, and coming to tech. I'm Mark Floyd. As always, thanks for tuning in to the Mark Floyd Show right here on CBS 93. And one more thing, my father Madison is going to be up there for the game. Similar build. So a big shout out to Madison who listened to the show going to the Texas State game against Florida State. So a shout out to Madison Wolfman. He's going to have a good time up there. Now I'm going to end the show. All right, take care, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.